anyway, I'm just excited to dive in some more in this. So anyway, let's welcome Mr. Les Heron.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. You know, that's that idea of religion says, hey, I figured it out. I'm going to camp right here. I'm going to stay right here. Everybody come and camp with me. And let's put our barriers up, our lines up, and this is it. And a life of relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is still fumbling forward into the light out of the darkness. And we know that we're people of the light. We're not people of the dark, but there are areas in our life that have dark or unhealthy and need to be whole. So we want to be those people that are constantly moving forward on the journey. I want to be out of Joshua chapter 1 today, and then a couple other verses. We're talking about healing, but it's three words I feel like the Lord gave me for 2016. Who can remember what those three words are? Healed, healthy, and hopeful. That was one of you over here. Healed, healthy, and hopeful. Part. If you can put the screen down a little bit more, so we can get there's going to be a scripture or two up there. Healed, healthy, and hopeful. I talked about what healed meant last week and kind of that, and used some scripture around that, and then we talked out of Joshua 1 and healing. I want to share with you just a repeat of healing in the dictionary is to be free from evil. I thought that was interesting in a non-Christian, non-religious dictionary. Free someone from an ailment or pain, to restore to health, to be mended, made well, to make healthy, whole, or sound. Now, the difference between healing and health is to restore or to be raised to health. So you can be set free of something, set free of cancer, and still need to regain your health because cancer has eaten away at certain parts of your body. Maybe you've lost weight. Maybe you need to, you know, my mother-in-law had breast cancer. She had to grow back her hair, and she had to grow back some things in her body after that cancer was taken care of. And it's to be healthy is to be no longer in that area in need of healing, okay? So a lot of times we settle for, I just need to be healed, but we don't think I need to be healthy. I need to be healed looks like this. I need a job, okay? But I want to be healthy is I want to be well off regardless of whether I have a job or not. I want to be progressively minimizing my bills, increasing my income, being a good steward with the things I've been healed in my area of finances, so therefore I'll live a healthy life in that area. And we forget to live in health and that we're called to live in health out of John 10:10. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And I think that in God's plan of things, that to be healed and to be healthy means that we're offering that health and that wholeness to the others around us. So we have a couple stories of people who grew up really, really poor. Yet what they do is when they can be healed and no longer be poor, but they can be not healthy because they're not giving now of what God's given them and blessed them in. I think that's true of if you used to be depressed and you're no longer depressed. To be healthy is to be joyful now, just I'm no longer depressed. It's a move beyond those things. So health has this connotation of vibrancy, of abundance, of those sorts of things that we often forget about and we settle for less. And we should never settle for less. All right? So these things, I think they sound like our Father. I'm going to read out of Joshua 1. I'm going to read a couple different scriptures, but I'm going to read something, then I'm going to have you guys say something. Okay? So Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, I love that part because it's a boundary line. God is giving Joshua a boundary line, but it's not just Joshua. He's given every one of us land. He's given us property. He's given us a boundary line. And a lot of times what we do is we get hurt and we squeeze in our boundary line. It's just right in here. It's really small. But what happens is Joshua is part of a defeated people that spent a lot longer in the desert than they ever should have, and God is showing him a land that he had already showed his leaders, and he's showing him again and saying, expand yourself. You've been given property. So I want you to repeat after me, I've been given property, okay? One, two, three. You've been given property. You've been given land. You've been given real land, physical land, tangible land. If you own a home, if you rent a place, if you have a body, you've been given land. You've been given something to rule over. You've been given something to be a good steward over. And each of you, as far as I know, have been given a body, all right? Each of you has been given a personality. You have land. You have some land in that personality, some property in that personality that you're supposed to take care of, tend, and have life of God produced through you and given to those around you. Then it says here in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead those people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, and I'm going to come back to that, but in Psalm 16:6, it says, your boundary lines, get this, your boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I want you to repeat after me. I have a delightful inheritance.
I have a delightful inheritance.
And it's our job to decide what is that inheritance, because every son, every daughter doesn't get the same inheritance. Every son and every daughter doesn't get the same looks, the same talents, the same personality, the same ability, the same potential. They don't have the same stories, but we all have an inheritance. We all have boundary lines that have fallen in pleasant places. And it's our job to expand our lives to those boundary lines. It's our job to steward those things. And we can ask God, God, please do something with me. Use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. And sometimes I think God is saying, I'll use you when you're usable. A lot of us aren't usable. A lot of us haven't been good stewards of our personalities, aren't even good stewards of our time. We could check our calendar and say, I'm not a good steward. I just binge-watched The Man in the High Tower off of Amazon this weekend. I just spent my 12 hours doing that. I didn't, but you know, we do that, don't we? We're not good stewards of our time, of our talent. We rarely even talk about our personalities, our talents, our land, our territory, our property. We have boundary lines, and they've fallen in good places. I'm going to reread some of this. So it says in verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So there's land for us to have that God's given us. It's part of our inheritance, but we still have to take that land and live on that land and expand that land. A lot of us want land that's not given to us. We want what somebody else has. We want the same amount of wealth. We want the same amount of vacation. We want the same job. We want the same title. We want the same prestige. But that's not ours to have. We each have an inheritance that's specific to us, that's our destiny, that's our God has dreamed for us. I mean, I can't imagine God said, I'm going to put you into a body that's 5'8" and 215 pounds. Now, to be fair, I made myself that 215 pounds, all right? But God knows me, and he made me, he designed me, and he has something for me, something wonderful, something amazing, and I have a part in these things. And part of that part is to be strong, to be courageous, and to follow the word of the Lord. To be strong, to be courageous, and to be obedient. So in order to be strong and be courageous and be obedient, I have to know where I'm not strong and how he can be strong where I'm weak. I have to know where I'm afraid and I lack courage. I lack the ability. I lack the desire or the ability or the nerve to step forward, to put my foot on that land like we talked about last week. I need to know where I'm in lack. And the law actually shows us often where we are in lack. I want you to hear that. So the law isn't like we just don't have any law. The law, my inability to follow what God's telling me to follow shows where I lack courage, shows where I'm disobedient. And so we need to find these things, and we need to find where am I being disobedient. You know, we pray for people. We're going to pray for people this morning after church. Around November, we made a commitment to pray every Sunday, to offer prayer after church every Sunday. We're praying this year, the first Wednesday night of every month, down at Cafe Maurice on Spring Cypress, we're praying for healing. And we're stirring up that thought of health and wholeness and the prosperity in our soul, the prosperity of our spirit, the prosperity of what we put our hands to in those meetings, in those times together. And but rarely do we think, I'm sick because I'm being disobedient. I'm sick because I'm holding on to anger. I'm sick because I'm insisting that my story be written by me instead of talking to God about what his story is for me. And we forget that we lack obedience a lot of times in our faith. We hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, and it brings sickness to us. It brings fatigue to us. It brings confusion to us. And so we have to look at these things as we're looking at our land. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody gave you a piece of land? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody gave you 5 acres up here? I was at a ministry meeting the other day, and the preacher was saying, it was a lady preacher, and she said, you know, she has like, I don't know, 3 or 4 acres, and there's a lake on it, and it's amazing. I'm like, I would love somebody to give me that piece of land right there. Wouldn't you like that land? Doesn't that sound good? You open up, you have your cup of coffee in the morning, and of course you're reading your Bible, and you're looking out at the river, the lake, and the ducks are there, and the mist is going. Maybe not this morning, but you maybe have a fire pit out there. Wouldn't you love it if somebody gave you that land? But then what we don't think about is there's cost to that land even once you get it. Even once you get the healing of, now I have a piece of land, you have taxes, you have upkeep, you might have snakes on your land. And so what we see in the story with Joshua of this is your land, but hey, by the way, there's some stuff on it you got to take care of. We're going to talk about those things. So in this 2016, I want you to make a commitment to step into your land. And maybe it's your personality. Maybe you just haven't realized how awesome you have your personality is and you've hidden it. Maybe you have a difficult time at your work just because you're trying to fit in and you're just trying to make it. But you don't realize that God's given you a personality that is a delight to him, that's meant to be a delight to other people, all right? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your ministry that you keep saying you want to start, but you want to line everything up and make it perfect instead of, as we see here in Joshua, wherever you place your foot, you take over that land, that your job is to take a step into that place. So repeat after me. And I might still have you repeat some stuff, but I thought, you know, we're at the beginning of the year. There is something about declaration and confession that's in the Bible, and we don't want to miss that. So I want you to repeat. In 2016, I will step into my land, okay? 1, 2, 3. In 2016, I will step into my land. And I want you to know your land doesn't look like my land. It doesn't look like starting a church. Because, you know, we started like 9 years ago here. I was thinking about this during worship. I almost started to cry because I was thinking that, you know, we got our little girl that we fostered for almost 4 years, Victoria. We got her on a Tuesday night. The CPS brought her to us, and she was 3 months old. And that next Sunday, we unofficially met here for the first time. And that's a significant thing of us stepping into our land. Of us being 45 years old saying, yes, we'll take a newborn into our lives. And I had somebody the other day, he went, whoa, man, that was crazy, wasn't it? And but it is what it is. If Jack Nicholson can do it, I can do it. So I've got the life of a super movie star, you know. You know, Keith Richards, you guys know who Keith Richards is? Some of you do that are, you know. Keith Richards has like a 30-something-year-old son and a 10-year-old son. And I think he's probably more like, he's the other end of the baby boomers, where I'm at the very, very end of the baby boomers. So anyway, so in 2016, step into your land. For us, it looked like doing something completely different with our family. For us, it looked like, for me in ministry, in my job, in my career, it looked like doing something completely different than I'd ever done before. The school, the daycare, the executive pastor, the helping out the church in this way, and it looked like something different. It's stepping into your land. It's for us, it meant moving from Houston up here. For us, it meant at that same time buying a house. We had never bought a house, and we were in our 40s. We had part of a house with Crecia's parents in the neighborhood that Crecia grew up in. But it's those things, it's stepping into that land. So what is health? What does wholeness look like for you this year? And then you write that down. And then you envision. And then you work towards that. And you let God show you, hey, you know what? You're afraid right here. Hey, you know what? You're disobedient right here. And so when you envision that I want to go somewhere, all the barriers pop up, don't they? And that's what we're going to talk about here when it comes to the barriers. And so you've got land. You've got land that's rightfully yours. You've got a legal right to this land. You've got a legal right to what we call the promised life. You've got a legal right to live your life, to live your destiny, but there's enemies in that land. And God purposely doesn't remove all the enemy in that land. And we see later on in this story, in this book of Joshua, that there's wild animals there, there's thorn bushes, there's enemies, and there's giants even. There's a bunch of things there that stopped them before, that has potential to stop them again from dominating and ruling over their land. Here's a couple things that will rule over your land. People will rule over your land. You'll say, I want, I see myself, I believe God's inheritance for me is blank. And then people will come, well, you know what? You can't say what God wants for you. And they'll start giving you scripture. They'll start giving you doctrine. Even though you see it in your scripture and you feel like God's spoken to you, people will come against you because people don't like people to grow up. People don't like people who put proper boundaries up. People don't like people who grow out of their neighborhood, who grow out of their belief system. It's uncomfortable for everybody when we say, I want to move into my land. I want to expand the territory that I have control over into more of my God-given territory. So your culture, whatever your background is, whatever your way of thinking is, if you're an artist or if you're a businessman or you're an intellectual or you're creative, all of those things can work against you. The people work against you in what they say. And there's giants in the land. There's these single big gaps that once you start going towards your land or once you start going towards your promise, that you say, I can never defeat that. And if I could build a bridge or if I could walk through that valley of shadow of death, there's a giant down there that's mocking me, saying, who dare comes down here? And so we face those giants. But you know what? What is it better to sit here in the corner of your property like a squatter on land you've inherited and be a pauper when you're the prince of the land? Which one's better? Well, but unless you're disobedient, unless you're afraid, unless you lack courage, and it's okay, we should say, I lack courage. I lack courage to pursue my life. I lack courage to be the person I dream of being. So there's people, there's giants, there's wild animals. Now, these wild animals, we see throughout some parts of Scripture that wild animals can be demonic, but they're nomadic. They run across your land. They can be anything from a lion, a wolf, or a bear. They can be anything from a fox to a squirrel that's just an annoying little varmint with a big bushy tail. My father-in-law always says, you know, that squirrels are just rats with a good PR person. You know, that we like squirrels, but not rats. And squirrels look a little cuter, but they do this much damage. So there's this idea. It's this idea when Jesus talks about the birds plucking out the seed. So you've got this land, you go to sow on your land, and the demonic of the bird comes in and picks that up and takes that away. And there's a hardness that can be there. And the giants and people bring hardness in our lives. If you want to mash up Joshua with the story of Jesus teaching with the soil of our land, that we can hear the giant's voice so long that we don't think it's a giant anymore, we just think it is reality. And we even say, well, that's God telling me not to be prideful, to not to see myself as going that far. And then we hear the voice of our culture or our family of origin. And we think, well, that's just how I am. I can't do that. Or that just makes good sense. But it's the giants in our land. And we've been there so long that there's a hardness in our heart. And we can pray for that hardness to be revealed and exposed, cracked away and moved away. This last thing that could be the enemies of the land is the wild vegetation that talks about in Joshua. And Jesus talks about the thorns of this world, the thorns that take the seed and choke it out. So you get some healing in your land, right? You like, I'm going to take a little bit more of my land. I'm going to till it up. I'm going to put a fence around it even. I'm going to have some better boundaries. And all of a sudden, I go back out there, and it's sprouting. And I'm amazed. I'm like, oh, this is a miracle. There's been breakthrough. There's been healing. And I come back, and it's all choked out. Everything I planted is gone. And the roots of the thistles seem deeper, and they've darkened out, getting that seed any light, and I'm disappointed, and I'm in despair. And that's something that's the cares of this world, that our attachment to the things of this world. I keep wanting to be my wrong self instead of my destiny self. So we're called to enter in our land. And we're called to not only enter in, we're called to enjoy our land. You're called to enjoy what God's given you to do for work. You're called to enjoy if you're a parent. Whoever you're a parent to, you're called to enjoy that. You're called to engage with it. You're called in to produce life upon your land. And I'm going to ask you a question, hopefully to highlight this. It's say you go home after church today, and you notice that your front door's open. There's a car parked in your driveway. You walk in, you're not too scared. You're a tough guy, right? Or you got a tough guy with you or a tough wife with you. You walk in and you notice like there's been food made in the kitchen. And you hear the TV on, so you walk into the TV room and there's a complete stranger. Scruffy, smelly, dirty. He's sitting on your couch, eating your food, wearing your pajamas, watching your TV. And he's already erased some of the stuff on your DVR. Do you just go, I can't do anything about it. I'm going to go use the downstairs bathroom. I won't shower anymore. I'll just use the bathroom off the side of the den, and I'll sleep in my closet. What would you do? You'd call 911. Now that you can carry, you'd walk in like that and say, man, get out of my house, because you got your gun right there. But we do it all the time. We let the enemy encroach upon us and live in our stuff and take over our things, and we allow it, and we call it the culture, we call it somebody else's fault, and it's ours. It's ours. That land is my responsibility. It's my responsibility. I take care of that land. It's my land, and I'm supposed to take care of it. And God engages with us when we do what? Take a step into our land, into our promised land. You would be furious if somebody came and did anything on your land. When AT&T comes and they dig up my yard like they did this summer, and they put about a 6-foot hole in there, and they spray paint along my driveway, and they tear up a bunch of my grass, I'm really upset, and it's not even in my house. And by law, they get to do that, but I'm still mad. But things die in front of us. They get stolen. They get rusted. They get destroyed. They get misused and abused, and we're like, there's nothing I can do about it. And we can. There's something we can do about it. And here in Jeremiah 33:6, I love this scripture. I think a lot about the nevertheless. Of course, my name being Leslie or Less, I always think about, 10 items or less. I'm less. I should be able to go through this line. Get it? 10 items or less. Okay. I think about that. Thank you. I like that stuff. So I love the nevertheless, or never settle for less. And for me, that's an identifier. Never settle for me. Never settle for the God stuff about me and in me, but never settle for the not redeemed me, the not healed me, the not healthy me. Is to pursue and decide that there is a healthy me, that I can walk into that more and more and more. But in this scripture, in Jeremiah 33, the first couple verses are like, these people are awful. And God's like telling, this is all the stuff I'm going to do, and this is what you did. But then this is what he says. Nevertheless, regardless of all of this stuff you did, regardless of all your past sins, regardless of how much you've been against me, regardless of your laziness, regardless of you being the prodigal, regardless of you being a leper, regardless of you being a Pharisee, regardless of you being blind spiritually, I will bring health and healing to you. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. That's the promise that we have, abundant peace and security. We don't have a promise for our next president, I don't believe. Maybe you do. We don't have a promise for what's going to happen with the economy. You don't have a promise even what's going to happen for your job. You do have a promise of what's going to happen in this land that you have. And what the one who is in me that I allow to indwell in me and walk with me, that one, man, then land changes everywhere I go because I step on that. So how do we enter in? I'm going to conclude with this. How do we enter in into our promised land? Before I go, I'm going to read John, 3 John 2. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. You know, people have read that a lot of different ways, and I just want to talk a bit about that. Is how do we enter into this? Is that when this was written, and the audience of this was written, they saw health as being a balanced thing. So when we think health, we think physical health, don't we? We don't think very often mental health or emotional health or financial health or marriage health or friendship health. We think one thing. The Greeks, when they hear, I want you to be in health, they think abundance and a balance of health. Now today we see somebody and we say, wow, they're really good looking. Rarely do we think, wow, they're really sick and diseased inside. We think one thing. We have superstars, we have people that are just outrageously talented, and we don't care that they're not balanced, that their life is a mess, because we like to see the one thing and wish for that one thing. But God's wish for us is a fullness and a richness of who we are. A fullness and a richness of who we are. Now we need to admire health where we see it. So there could be somebody that's our physical trainer or nutritionist or things like that. Or if you're going to get a golf pro to help you, you want somebody that's better than you. But we're aiming for wholeness. And we had used that will of life some time ago with the seven areas. We're looking to expand our territory for our health to increase, for our intellect to increase, for us to be good stewards of our family, even for our recreation time to increase and to be intentional and life-giving in what we have. So here's how we enter into that health, that balanced health. It's found in Psalms 3, 5-8. It's found throughout Scripture. And of course, I'm gonna tell you like five or six things here, real quickly, and you can just kind of highlight each word in Scripture. But it all comes down to Jesus. It all comes down to walking with Jesus, listening to Jesus, hearing Him as you're reading. It doesn't come down to you figuring something out. It comes down to that relationship and what that relationship looks like. And it's gonna sound like when I say it, like spiritual growth habits. It's going to sound like read your Bible more. It's going to sound like pray. It's going to sound like gather and talk about things in spiritual community. It's going to sound like, you know, listen to some good teaching. It's going to sound like goal setting. It's going to sound like go see a counselor. It's going to sound like some of those things. But it's really find ways for people around you, the body of Christ, to open yourself up so that you can hear God and see Him more clearly. So Psalms 3, 5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now look at that. Trust God. Don't trust yourself. Submit to God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. See God as wise or fear God, and to shun evil. It's all an invitation to trust God, to walk in with Jesus, to find out what He's doing and go there in that direction, to see where He's going in your life, to see where He's pointing you to see what He's stirring up in you, to see what part of land He wants you to go after right now. There might be thistles. You might struggle with a lot of cares of life that always cut off your desires. There's different things that you can look at. It's not the same thing I might look at, all right? So trust in God for this year. And trust in God, remember, doesn't mean don't make any plans, doesn't mean don't be a good steward. God has His part, we have our part. Part of our part is here in Psalms that we just read. Let's bow our heads.